Well, amen. Thank you, fellas. Appreciate that. I tell you what, appreciate those groups. All right, you have a Bible this morning. We'd like for you to turn to John chapter 14. The Gospel according to John chapter 14. We have just finished up a series dealing with understanding the times that we live. And we're moving into a new area where I believe the Lord has laid on my heart to preach a number of messages concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This will be an introduction-styled message, sort of getting us aware of what we're going to deal with as we approach this subject. And again, the Holy Spirit's the third person of the Trinity. He is the administrator of the affairs of God. And He is very much a presence in our lives when we get saved. He indwells us, according to the Word of God. The Bible tells us in the book of Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it says this in the latter part of that verse. It says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." God's going to do business in your life when you meet Him. And that business is carried out through the Holy Spirit of God. As we look at the Holy Spirit, as we understand our relationship with Him, He is a companion. He is a companion that transcends time and eternity. He is someone that wants to be personally involved in your life. He wants a close relationship with you. Well, many people don't understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit because they don't understand the relationship they have with Him. He is not an arm's length entity. He is something or someone, excuse me, He is someone that is personally involved in our personal lives. He wants to be personally involved in your daily activity, in your daily life. He is someone that our lives ought to revolve around. And many, many do not live to the capacity that God wants them to live. Because they've never experienced a close walk with the Holy Spirit of God. This is where we're going to be moving. We will understand the Holy Spirit theologically and doctrinally. But more than that, we are going to base a lot of our preaching in this series with our relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. I'd ask you to turn to John chapter 14. You should be there. John 14. I'd also ask you to find Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. We'll start with these two verses to sort of thrust us in to this series. Jesus is talking to His disciples. He's getting ready to depart. He's letting them know that His ministry is on the downhill slope, that He will be leaving them soon. He's letting them know exactly what is going to take place at His departure. And He says in John chapter 14, look at verse 16, And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. He's talking about the Paraclete. He's talking about the one of like kind, one that is similar to Himself. Notice what He says, He will abide with you for how long? Forever. You ought to have that underlined. That's a wonderful, wonderful phrase. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world doesn't understand him, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Ephesians chapter 1. Notice what the Word of God says in just a couple verses. Ephesians chapter 1. Look with me at verse number 13. This is Paul again writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Just as Jesus was talking about it to the disciples, Paul is instructing this church about that ministry of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. He is the earnest of our inheritance. He's the down payment. He is the thing that God gives us after we get saved. During the dispensation that we live in, the dispensation of grace, the Holy Spirit, when we get saved now, moves in immediately into our hearts. He is not something we get later down the road. He is not something that happens what we might call the second blessing, as some teach. That's not what He does at all. The moment you get saved, He moves in. Now realize this, He didn't work that way during the Old Testament. He worked differently. But realize this, when it all started, He worked differently then too. You go, what do you mean, Brother Ron? When He created Adam and Eve, the Holy Spirit worked differently than the Old Testament. Father, bless now. We need Your help. Give us understanding. Give us wisdom. Illuminate our minds. Lord, I pray if there's one here that doesn't know Christ, I pray that as the Holy Spirit might go to work even right now, convicting people of the need of salvation, I pray that they might realize that Jesus died on a cross for the sins of mankind, and that we can understand that He can be our personal Savior if we trust Him by faith. He's paid the price for our sin. Lord, bless now. Speak to the hearts of all of us. Speak to the hearts of Christians that we might draw closer to You in our relationship with You. It's in Christ's name we pray this. Amen. You may be seated. A couple of statements I want to start with. Number one, the Holy Spirit will not leave you the way He found you. You've heard me say that 100 times. He will not leave you the way He found you. You say, well, Brother Ron, I've been saved, but there's never been any change. The Holy Spirit will not leave you the way He found you. You might ought to think about that. A second thing is, He will help us as He indwells us to live. We can live beyond where our old nature has us. We can become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. What are we talking about? We're talking about our relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. living beyond our capacity. That's where he wants to take you. He wants you to live beyond your capacity. Where you were headed in your old nature and where your old nature was taking you, he wants you to live beyond that place. There have been events that have happened in my life, too, I want to bring out to your attention this morning, that have been a source of encouragement, that have been a source of close relationship, that have been a source of just a breath of fresh air in my soul. When I was younger, I was in Bible college and quite a bit younger. I witnessed to my family. My family were not Christians, and I witnessed to them and tried to live right before them. And finally, God called me away, and I moved away and moved to go to Bible college in Springfield, Missouri. And as I was there, going to Baptist Bible College and trying to get an education, trying to serve the Lord the best of my ability. Boy, it was hard. I had a young family, had two children, trying to work a full-time job and go to Bible college. And so it was very stressful. And my grandpa was there, and he was not a Christian, but he watched my life. And he watched, and he watched, and he watched. And finally, one day during Christmas time, he came up to me, and he says, "Ron, I want to go to breakfast with you." And you have to understand, in our situation, I've never gone to breakfast with my grandpa. Never. This was something totally different. And he was an old farm guy. Grandma always got up and made breakfast, and that's the way it was. And he never went out. And I said, "Where do you want to go to breakfast?" "Oh, anywhere." Well, I just found the closest place. And it was McDonald's. We went into McDonald's for breakfast. And as we were having breakfast there, my grandpa says, "Tell me about your Jesus." And I told him. And I told him what Jesus had done in my life. And he says, "Well, I've seen something. Something's changed." And we finished breakfast, and boy, I was just sitting there just, my heart was just beating, and I was just, you know, I was praying, saying, "God, I don't know if I can say anything you can use, but Lord, help what I said." And we were driving home, and my grandpa said, "Pull over right here." We pulled off on an old dirt road in Ponca City, Oklahoma. He says, "Can I get saved right now?" I said, "Yes, Poppy." And I led him to Christ. And he was 72 years old. And I'll never forget that. Boy, it blessed my soul. Another time, I was sitting in the auditorium of High Street Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri. Our class was so big, we didn't have a place to meet over on the campus, so they sent us over to High Street. There were so many students in that class that we filled the auditorium up of High Street. And we were there, and at that time, the Bible college was running about 3,000, I think, large attendance. And we were in that class, and I was sitting there, and my professor was Dr. Boonstra, Carl Boonstra, my good friend. And Brother Boonstra was teaching the class, and he saw some guys sitting behind me, horsing around, playing around. They weren't serious. Mom and Dad had sent them to Bible college. And I saw Carl Boonstra go back there, and he got down on his knees, and he grabbed this one young man, and he says, "Son, let me pray for you." And he just started praying for the guy. And he said, "Lord, please get his attention. He's playing around with serious things. These are some of the most serious times in his life, and he's playing around. He's horsing around." And I listened to Carl pray that prayer. And he said, Lord, please thrust this into his heart and get his attention that he might get serious about you. I don't know if that boy heard that prayer, but I know one boy that did. And when I finished that class, I walked up to Carl and I said, Carl, I said, thank you. And I said, he said, for what? And I said, for that prayer. He said, what prayer? I said, that prayer you prayed with that young man during class. I said, that I needed that. I needed it more than he did. Probably. And that was a time that refreshed my soul. And I realized there were men that actually cared for your growth, for your maturity. And they were spiritual men. And they wanted you to achieve something for God. And I could see that, folks, we live in a time, we live in a day where we don't need to be playing around with the things of God. We must get serious about our relationship with our God. I'm not getting any younger. I'm getting older. But I see some that play around with their relationship with God. And they're not serious. And I pray that this series can help us walk a closer walk with God and with His Holy Spirit. And folks, the moment you get saved, He moves in. The very moment that you get saved, He's there. He's present in your life. And understand this. The lost world doesn't understand that. That's what it said back there in John 14, verse 17. The lost world doesn't understand what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life. They don't have a clue. And the Holy Spirit's working in your life. And all of a sudden, great changes start coming. And all of a sudden, you get closer to Him. And He becomes a wonderful companion that will guide your life. And you start realizing, boy, there's power if I can just, get it closer to Him. There's a powerful way to live. I get tired of flippant Christianity. And I know God does. I think we've got to understand. Do you realize we were all made with a void? And that we had a searching going on in our souls for God. And we call it the intuitive nature. And we find that in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, verse 19. And God's put it in us to seek Him and to want to know Him. And praise the Lord, we're created with that. And there's no one that can fill that void. Nobody can fill that void but God Himself. God's the only one that can fill that place. The Holy Spirit moves into your life and He wants to be a companion. He wants to be the companion that defies time, space, finiteness, and boundaries. He wants to be the companion that loves you unconditionally and has moved into your life to change you. He's the one that's done that. In Him, we realize that we have, that He will sustain us, that He will give us strength, that He will lead us, and He will guide our lives in what we call the abundant life. The Holy Spirit of God is real. He's the third person of the Trinity. And please realize this, He's God's gift to us. And it's a place of fellowship with God Himself. we've got to realize it. If you're saved today, He's at work in your life. He's doing something right now in your life. He's wanting to do something great in your life. He wants to lead your life to abundance. I believe this. I believe He wants to help us live beyond our capacity. I believe He wants us to be abundantly joy, or to have abundant joy. And understand this. I believe that He wants to give us abundant peace. He wants to give us abundance of grace. And you know what that grace is that we're talking about? It's that divine influence in our hearts that manifests itself out of our lives. That's what God wants to do in your life. I've seen men, and I read about men. I knew Paul Chappell before he became a big preacher. I remember a humble Bible college student praying, saying, "God, I don't know if You can use me or not. But I pray You can." I remember when Paul Chappell went to his church there in Lancaster. There were 13 people there. I remember when he had a full bus of people and he was just overloaded and praising God. And boy, you couldn't have got him down off cloud nine for anything. I remember when they had that building filled to capacity. That little junky building they were in at first. And now he's running 5,000. And now they're seeing thousands saved. Paul Chappell's not the best preacher I've ever heard in my life. But he's a man that surrendered his heart to God and said, "God, use me." I've seen that happen. I've seen it happen to life after life after life. You know, we've watched it happen before our very eyes where some men have said, "God, use me in a great way, and I want to surrender my life to You." We've seen that happen, Sister LaVelle, to your nephew, Brother Wilkerson. He's now the pastor of the Church of Hammond, Indiana, where Jack Hiles pastors. He didn't start out that way. But he said, "God, use me." Paul. I look at the disciples. If I was Christ, I wouldn't have chose probably one of them. And Christ used every one of them in a great way. Why? Because they were people that realized God could do something great. See, God wants to use ordinary people. God's not looking for the mighty. He's not looking for the strong. He's looking for ordinary people that want to surrender their lives to the Lord. And they want to live beyond the capacity that God has them. I was saved in 1970, and what a wonderful thing it was when the Holy Spirit moved into my life and started working and prompting me. And you'll never get past those first few days after you get saved. I mean, you'll remember them for the rest of your life. Remember when you sat down and you were on break or at lunch or something like this at work, and you opened your Bible and God gave you something special out of the Word of God, and you go, "Whoa, man, this is good." Remember that? How many of you remember that? How many remember witnessing to your first person, telling them about Jesus? How many of you remember leading your first person to the Lord? Huh? Mine was a little red-headed guy. Huh? Little red-headed guy picked up on the bus. Huh? Amen. Led him. No, I take it back. It wasn't him. It was a guy that was out on visitation. We walked up and knocked on his door, and we said, "Hey, we'd like to invite you to our church and come out." And I was with a young person, and we were out just knocking some doors. And the kid says, "Oh, yes, I was there Sunday. I heard the gospel. I want to get saved. Can you show me how to get saved?" I said, "Oh, no. I don't know how to show him how to get saved." I was just out faithfully serving, you know. And some kid wants to get saved. I said, do you have a bathroom? I need to use your bathroom real quick. I went in there and I said, oh, Lord, please help me. Help me. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And I felt in my pocket I had a track. Whipped it out and I said, hey, let me make it easy for you. This is going to be really easy. And I opened that track and I said, here, let's just follow the track. It'll show you how to get saved. Woo, thank the Lord for tracks. My first person I led to the Lord by a track. Amen. Second person was the little red-headed guy. And folks, please realize this. Remember those times where he was leading you and prompting you and good things were being done. And all of a sudden, remember, you start walking with him. And please realize this. Your walk with the Lord will not be without failure. You will fail. But he prompts you. And he says, come on, get up. You can do it. Huh? I know you got your dauber down. I know sin's got you there. I know the devil trying to rub your old face in the muck and mire. But the Holy Spirit, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Never forget that. Holy Spirit gets you back on your feet and gives you back your strength. And you know, please realize this. Life apart, in a Christian's life, life apart from letting the Holy Spirit rule in your life can be very frustrating. It can be a life that's overwhelming and you have no purpose in your life when you leave the Holy Spirit out. I want to tell you, some of the best days of my life have been when my life is totally dedicated to him and I can hear him prompting me. I can hear him saying, do this and do that. You say, does he do that? Oh, yeah, he'll guide you. He'll direct you. That's part of his ministry. Some of the worst days of my life has been when I was quenching that spirit or when I was, a person that was trying to do my own thing and I grieved the Holy Spirit of God. Those are some of the worst days of my life. Realize this. When God created Adam, he breathed in him what? The breath of life. Is that right? The Bible tells us that. He was spiritually alive. Right? Is that right? He was. Adam was spiritually alive. God breathed that breath into him, and he was spiritually alive. Adam was perfect. Amen? He was perfect. No old nature. The Spirit of God was there indwelling him too. That's his job. That's what he did. But what happened? Genesis 2:17 happened. What does it say there? God said, don't do this. If you do, thou shalt surely die. That's what happened. Adam chose to go the wrong direction. And what happened? He spiritually died. Is that right? Is that what the Bible tells us? All you got to do is read Genesis 3 and you'll see he spiritually died. Now what does that mean? That means he was separated from God. Is that right? Brother Art, is that right? He was spiritually separated from God. You know what that meant? That meant the Holy Spirit was gone. He no longer indwelled him. You stop and you think about that, and you start realizing, boy, that's a terrible state to be in. But folks, that's the state he was in. That's the position he was in. He was a walking dead man. Is that right? Says that in Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2. It says he must make us what? alive. Why? Because we're spiritually dead. What happens now that we get saved? The Holy Spirit moves in. What did He do in the Old Testament? He didn't move in. The Holy Spirit would come upon people, and He would empower them to do something, and He would leave. That's why David said in Psalms 51, "Do not remove Thy Spirit from me." Here's what David wanted. He wanted the continual presence with God. He wanted God involved in his life continuously. But the Holy Spirit didn't work that way in the Old Testament, because Adam chose to go the wrong direction. But God had a plan. Amen? God had a plan, and that plan was to bring us back in that stead. And Jesus went to the cross, praise the Lord, and He died for our sins. He shed His blood and paid the price for our sin. And now, what happens when we get saved? The Holy Spirit immediately moves into our life and becomes a ever-present entity in your life. He's there. Do you know what that means? Paul, that means the Holy Spirit's with you everywhere you go. That means He's with you in everything you do. That means when you cuss, He's there. When you watch something on TV or on the computer you shouldn't watch, He's there. When you have a bad attitude, He's there. He's involved in everything you do. And you stop and you think about that close relationship now you have with the Spirit of God. I think this. I think many times we as Christians never really embrace the relationship God wants us to have with the Holy Spirit of God. We just get by. He moves into our lives at salvation. And I think many times Christians live below the capacity that God wants them to live. And the Holy Spirit, you know, He wants to be part of our lives. And instead, what do? We ignore Him. And He desires to be there. And you know, He desires to be involved in everything that we are involved in. And understand this. Here we are. We're saved. We're born again. But we're living our Christian life according to what we want. And all of a sudden, we get pathetic. We have pathetic lives. And we've got an infinite God involved in our lives. And here we are crawling around and clawing through life with our own frailty. And we're trying to do it our own selves. And folks, there's no way you can live the Christian life in your own strength. You can't do it. And God wants to be involved. I get tired of trying to rely on my own strength. I get tired of not being eager like I used to be. I get tired of not being thirsty for the truth of God's Word, where I can dig in it and study and be blessed from heaven. I want to live there always. I want to be in that place. I want to be in that place where God says, "Hey, this little fellow, I need for you to go witness to him." I want to be in that place. I want to be in that place where if God needs to use somebody, He can go, "I can use old Ron." I don't want to get in His way. And that's my problem. I get in His way too much. And I want to do what I want to do. Wouldn't it be sad that God says, "All right, I need somebody. I can't use Ron. He's all messed up right now." have to go find somebody else. Wouldn't it be sad for that to be our commentary? Wouldn't that be sad for that to be your commentary? I want to live in the capacity God wants for me to live. I want to be what He wants me to be. The Holy Spirit of God desires, after salvation, He desires to do a daily work in my life, and He desires to give me power and the grace of transformation to where I can be a blessing to people, and the grace that has touched my heart can manifest out of my life through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and people can see and say, there's a genuine Christian. There's somebody that's real. That's what I want to be. I hope I can be that. I hope each one of you can be what you want to be for the Lord. I believe He can give us the life to live a supernatural life. You know what the Bible says in a verse in Isaiah chapter 40? Isaiah 40, verse 28 through 31 says this. God gives us these words. He says, "Has thou not known, has thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of understanding. He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Folks, that's living beyond your capacity right there. That's where God reaches into your life and gives you the strength to live that kind of life. Life with the Holy Spirit is not a fainting, flittering, weary kind of life. It's a life of strength, a life of mounting up. It's a life of a soaring life that you're looking for God to use you every day. Tomorrow ought to be better living for the Lord than today. I ought to be more godly today than I was yesterday. I should. I don't you believe that? I believe that. I have a yearning in my soul. I won't lie to you. I want the companionship with the Holy Spirit of God I was designed to have. It started out that way. Why did it change? Because man chose to change it. And we changed it. But now the Holy Spirit can do what He's supposed to do in our lives, because of what Jesus has done for us. All we got to do is realize it. See, there's something that I think we need to understand. The Holy Spirit of God can enable us to live on a higher plane than where we're living. Again. He can give us the ability to live beyond our capacity as Christians. New creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Here's the problem. We're hanging on to the old things. It's time to get past them. It's time to move on. Amen. The Holy Spirit's able to do that. And here's what it's all based on. And I'm going to close. This is just the introduction. I'm going to close. Here's what it's all based on. Choice. what we choose Him to do in our lives. In the beginning, it was choice. Adam could have stayed right there in fellowship with God, and the Holy Spirit would have indwelt him. What did he do? Made the wrong choice. You got choice before you right now. What kind of life you want to live for God? Mediocre life, no victory, not ever being used. The blessings are small. Or do you want to live beyond your capacity and let the Holy Spirit of God use you in a great way? This has happened to me, and I want it back. I was a college director of a ministry, and God was doing some great things in that ministry. I remember one Sunday morning, I had been teaching the young people the importance of witnessing to the people they come in contact with, becoming good Christian people that were trying to win their friends that they go to school with. And I remember we had, that particular Sunday, we had about 40 college kids, and they were all sitting together. And pastor came up to me and he goes, "Boy, Brother Ron, that's a good group of college guys out there." I said, "Yeah, Lord's really, really blessing." He says, "What are you doing to get their attention?" I said, "We're just having Bible studies." I mean, we were having a bunch of Bible studies, but we were having Bible studies. I said, "We're having Bible studies." And they're intrigued. They want to grow. They're witnessing to their friends. And a lot of these people are visitors to our church. And invitation started. We had this guy by the name of, his name was John. He was a big guy. Tim, he'd make Tim look like a shrimp. All right? John, big guy. He put his arm around this guy and said, "Don't you think?" All of a sudden, here comes John. And he's got this guy that he's been witnessing to over here. He's leading him to Jesus. Then all of a sudden, Rich Newton and another guy, they're over here. And then Karen Duran, a staunch Catholic girl, got saved. She's got another Catholic girl down there leading her to Jesus. And all of a sudden, a Jewish girl come up. And she came up to me and she grabbed my hand. She says, "I got to get saved." And she says, "I can't stand this. I've been around for all these years and listening to all this junk, and I've never heard about what Jesus can do in my life. I got to get saved." So I let my wife lead her to the Lord. And I was sitting on the front pew, and I looked and I said, "There's four kids getting saved." I didn't talk to any of them, but the people I had talked to were talking to them. And now leading them to Jesus. Woo! That will just make cold chills run up down your spine if you're a Christian. It will. And my wife come over and was introducing me to this Jewish girl. And she says, "I want to tell you, this young lady just got saved. Why don't you tell him what happened?" And she started explaining it. She says, "I can't stand it. I got to kiss something." And she reached over and kissed me. My wife just sort of looked at her, and I sort of looked at her. I sure was glad my wife was there. I may have gotten a whole bunch of trouble if my wife hadn't been standing right there. And she says, "When I get happy, I got to kiss something." And it turned out to be me. I want to see those days again. I want to see people get saved more than anything. I want God to do it in our Bible club. I want God to do it in our nursing home. I want God to do it in our bus ministry. I want God to do it in our youth department at our camps. I want God to do it in every class in our church. And I think if we'll all determine to be the kind of Christians we're supposed to be, God can help us to live beyond our capacity. And you might be surprised what God can do in your life. Father, bless now. We need your help.